We continue tonight in the book of Psalms, and before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time in your word, Lord. As we gather, Father, we gather with hearts of gratitude, Lord Jesus. Father, we do come together and lift in prayer, Lord, this new year ahead, Heavenly Father. Asking for your hand over each and every single one of our lives, Lord, to focus on you more and more and more. And Lord, amidst the transition that we will be having with leadership in our own country, we pray, Lord, for you to be at the center, and Lord, for us to not take for granted the opportunity and to boldly share the gospel. And Heavenly Father, as we gather, we continue to pray for Israel. We continue to pray, Lord, for the hostages to be released, Lord Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we continue to pray for salvation on both sides, Lord, and for your people, Lord. And Father, now as we immerse into your word, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to speak to us. Teach us. Give us ears for what you would have for us this night. Lord, may we embrace conviction that you may bring. And Lord Jesus, may we just seek to live your word. Lord, may we seek more of you. And Father, no matter what comes, may we trust in our King. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. So we're entering a part of the Psalms as we've kind of been there where there's a lot going on with enemies coming towards David. And we're seeing how he's handling these different moments with that. And we're putting two Psalms together, and we'll see how far we get through one. It may be a two-part message, but the title of tonight's message is Anchored Eyes. Anchored Eyes. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 56 and Psalm 57. And it's an interesting place to be, an interesting text, and there's actually, I think, some good applications as we start a new year. You know, I remember looking at this text when I knew we were doing that Christmas, and then we had the little break, and I looked and I said, well, Lord, I don't know where you're going to go with this text when we go there, because it's not a real pick-me-up to start, but then when you really look at it, it actually is. And that's the blessing of the Word of God. Our own eyes can look at it sometimes and see one thing, but then when we let the Spirit of God teach us, there's such power in each moment. So with this, we're going to see some good vital reminders that I think we need and some questions to ask you before we dig in. If I asked you, how would you answer, how do you handle trials? How do you handle when trials come? How do you handle adversity? Someone comes for you, if someone comes at you or against you, how do you handle that? How do you handle trouble? How do you handle pain? How do you handle the times when perhaps you feel all alone? You feel as though everything's caving in on you and there's no hope. How do you handle that? How do you handle fear? How do you handle those moments of just fear, terror? Am I going to be okay? How do you handle doubt? Because when we start a new year, there is that bit, and it's still buzzing about, if you go out and about, that kind of optimism that comes at a new year. And I don't knock that. I say, yes, hold to that. But then we have to remember and be real. 2025, there's going to be trials for all of us. There's going to be things that come that are challenging, that are unexpected, that are difficult. And as we see this Psalm of David, we see that David continually goes to the one who can help. David continually goes to the one deliverer. And in it, we also can acknowledge David's not perfect. I almost think for 2025, if somebody says, can you spell perfect? Yeah, J-E-S-U-S. Perfect. You'll lose the spelling bee, but that's how we should spell it. Jesus. Because there's only one who's perfect. Now, when we think about this idea of anchored eyes, where our eyes are fixed, where our eyes are focused, impacts the day-to-day. I would even go farther to say that that impacts the moment by moment. It impacts the second by second. And we can see circumstance. We can fix our eyes on the circumstance, or we can fix our eyes on truth. We can fix our eyes on God. When we think of how the author of Hebrews, and when I say that, I always say I'm pretty sure that's Paul, but the author of Hebrews, when we look at that, Hebrews 12, verse 2, we see, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And right before that, therefore also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, because of all of the examples in Hebrews 11 of people holding on to the faith in the Lord, no matter what the trial or circumstance was, we should lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Some translations say, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. So where are your eyes anchored tonight? Where are your eyes anchored in this new year? Because in these two Psalms that we're looking at, David's on the run from Saul. And we know as we've studied Psalms and look at David's journey here, it's palpable for him. My life is on the line. It's not something for him where it's, would Saul really kill him? No, there's that real possibility for him. This could be the end. And then we have to ask ourselves as we look ahead, how will you brace yourself for the challenges in the year ahead? And you know what? For some folks, the year just started and they're already in those challenges, or they already feel all those different things. But in it, we have to shift our eyes. We have to anchor our eyes. And we have to remember, it's not if trial comes, but when. Hardship will come. Persecution will come. And we need to prepare. Now, the preparing that I'm talking about is not all of us now, okay, we're going to get a sign-up list. Who's going to get beans? Who's going to get rice? Who's going to get this? That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is preparing and fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Fixing our eyes on God. Because it's often in moments like this when there is that kind of new year, let's go. Discipline and lean in more to the Lord. So that no matter what comes, you're ready. 2020 vision, if you want perfect vision, it was vision for marriage retreat. When we did that, boy, do we have some people with good eyes. I was impressed by that, the vision test we did. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you should have been there. No, I'm just kidding. But when we think about that, 2020 vision, I know man-made LASIKs, you can do that, but you know what? You're only going to get 2020 vision one way, when your eyes are anchored on Jesus. Amen? One way, Christ alone, realizing he paid it all, realize he is in control, realize he is coming back. And then we now look at this Psalm, Psalm 56, that we take in the context for us with the applications, remembering we've got King Jesus. We've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We see that this is to the chief musician, a title that we've seen before. We see that this is set to a tune, the silent dove in distant lands. The silent dove in distant lands. And many writers and commentators will comment on the portrait of David as this dove that is silenced, that is suffering in this moment. And it's a michtam of David when the Philistines captured him in Gath. It's a golden thought. It's a precious thought that he has. It is important. And when we look at this, it gives us the exact time when the Philistines captured him in Gath. This is where, if this was interactive, I'd say, pop quiz, what psalm did we look at already which hit this point? And that's where all of you in your heads are going, Psalm 34, Pastor Vince, right? Yes, correct, Psalm 34. Psalm 34, if you recall when we looked at that, and Pastor Jeff gave us a song, I Will Trust the Lord at All Times. That psalm itself comes from this same time period. So let's turn there. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 21. Because we're going to get the real time context of when this psalm takes place. 1 Samuel chapter 21. And we're going to start in verse 10. This is after David's gone through, and if we remind ourselves, he's gone to Nob. He's lied to about the circumstance and why he's there so that he can get the things that he needs, food and whatnot. And we get to verse 10. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul. Because remember, they say, listen, he's here. So he's tried to protect himself with lies. It didn't work. Application for all of us. Lies aren't going to work. And went to Achish, the king of Gath. And you can think of the desperation at this time, because that's also Abimelech. And when we see this, that king, he's going to the Philistines, enemies of Israel at this time. It's a level of desperation, of hopelessness. And there's tough circumstances that he's desperate. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s?'" They recognize him. They know who it is. Now David took these words to heart. He knew. They know who I am. It's just a matter of time now before Saul knows where I am. And was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And then it's believed at that point, the prayer that we're going to look at, Psalm 56, takes place. That he goes before the Lord in this prayer. And after that, he then would continue. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Pretty much humiliates himself. Acts as a madman. And then we see Achish said to his servants, the plan worked. "Look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So we see, and we're going to look at Psalm 56 closely, but he goes through that moment. And then he has this humiliation. So you could wonder, did the Lord at this point give him the, you know, go there, do this madness? But it's humbling the way he had to get out of that. It's humbling to make himself look like that. Complete fool. True humility. And then after this encounter, we know he goes to the cave at Adullam. And that's where we talked about Psalm 34 that takes place. And if you remind yourself about Psalm 34, that was the one where we see, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me." Psalm 56, we're going to see, is him seeking him. "And delivered me from all my fears. They looked radiant to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me." And we remember he shifted to the teaching there. "I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." And when we look at Psalm 56, we'll see he reveals that he's in that broken place. He has that contrite spirit. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. None of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. And we look at that whole psalm because when we take it in the context of everything that we just looked at in 1 Samuel 21, 10 to 15, I want us to see the full roadmap. He goes, he's trying to hide. He realizes he's discovered. Insert Psalm 56, insert complete humiliation, insert praise of Psalm 34. And now when we're gonna look at Psalm 56, it's gonna be cool because you get to see he's pointing back to some of those answered prayers that he prayed in Psalm 56. So we start in Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. So the first thing in the midst of this distress, notice what the first thing David turns to, be merciful to me. And we've talked when we started Psalms about that emotional O in the text and all that that O would entail. And we see the O gods, the O Most High, O Lord from David when it's really the most urgent, pressing, fear-filled situations. And he doesn't look for anything but mercy. Mercy is sought because there's an awareness on his part. Only one can deliver me, God. There's nothing I can do right now. Because think of what just happened right before in 1 Samuel 21. He tried with lies. It failed. It didn't work. So he's at this point where he realizes there is only one who can deliver me because right now man would swallow me up. There's an awareness of his state of being. And that's why he says, be merciful to me, and has the words, oh God. I think believers have come a little too lax when we hear the Lord's name in vain, when we hear the OMG said or those phrases. And I think when you look at these psalms and in studying this psalm, I was like, you know, let's reclaim that phrase because it's real. We can't just idly stand by. I'm challenging myself. If I hear somebody say it, I want to say, what do you mean when you say that? Who are you going to? Do you know him? Why not? The door's open. You used his name. I know him personally. Let's talk about it. But truly, because there's that mercy tied to, oh God, the mercy. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day. For there are many who fight against me, O Most High. This is that moment where he puts the circumstance in the reality. Lord, I need your mercy. I feel all alone. I feel that every single one is against me. The circumstance where he hits right now, fear. Fear, terror, worry. If that wasn't the reality, we wouldn't have the psalm. We wouldn't be looking at it. You'd just see David, okay, what do I do now? Everything's fine. No, there's fear. But notice the discipline. Where does he go when that fear comes? God, where do you go? Where do you go when fear comes? Because again, it's going to come. There's going to be things in the next 300, and I don't do math well, so however many days are left in this year, over 300. There's going to be different circumstances that come that could have you feel all alone. What's your response going to be? May our response be to go to, oh God, and may our response be to go to, oh Most High, the one who is above, the one who is over all. Then we see verse 3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. That should be a memory verse for everybody. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Because we're going to see in these two psalms something important. Fear moving to faith. Fear moving to faith. Whenever I'm afraid, he puts, I will trust in you.
And we know from other places in Scripture, if we think about when we seek the Lord, when we love the Lord, what do we do? Mark 12:30, with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, all of you goes to him. When you're trusting in the Lord, when you're trusting in God, every part of your fiber is surrendered. That's what we do with fear. We turn it to trusting. Could this be your personal anthem? Because it means whenever something comes that can cause fear, whenever something comes that can cause worry, if you're going to trust in him, guess what you got to do? You got to pray. You got to call on the name of the Lord. You got to fix your eyes on Jesus. And you go to him, you pray, and you pray, and you talk to your heavenly Father, and you remind yourself of his word. And notice he doesn't put conditions on that fear. Whenever. Fear comes, trust in the Lord. Worry comes, trust in the Lord. Is that your default? We've talked as we've gone through the Psalms about prayer being our default. But brothers and sisters, as the things that can come in that get us going like this, is your discipline built saying, I trust you, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I trust you, Lord. Because we know, what are we reminded in the New Testament? Who can add days to his life by worry? No one can. But we choose worry and fear all the time. May we be a people who say, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. That we build, what are we called to do in John 15? Abide in him, right? When we abide in Jesus Christ, we are building an abiding confidence, not in us, in who he is. And then he goes on to expound on this in verse 4. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Not in social media, I will trust. Not in my wife, I will trust to solve everything. Not in my money. Not in my health. Not in anything but God. And if we are real, these two verses, 3 and 4, are a challenge, I believe, for culture today. Because we are told to trust in everything but the Lord God Almighty. And even for the children of God, we're trusting in many other things before we put our trust in Christ alone. We trust in many other things that we deem important, that we think important, people's approval, the approval of this person, being able to say, I did this, all these different things. But notice what David says in this midst where his life is on the line. In God, I will praise his word. It's that song, one of the songs we sing as a family is praise, and I love, my praise is a weapon that brings enemies down. Because praise matters, and what is it? His word. He's remembering the words of the Lord God Almighty in 1 Samuel 16 and the promises that the Lord has made. He's remembering them, and that's what he's going to trust. And he declares, in God, I've put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Because if I'm putting my trust in God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm putting my trust in the Creator. I'm putting my trust in Alpha Omega, beginning and end. Which means whatever's going on, he and his sovereignty is permitting. He and his sovereignty will empower and strengthen me to walk through it if I seek his strength. If I seek his will and strength. What is your in? And what I mean there, when you think about in God, I will praise. In God, I've put my trust. What's your in? Because sometimes worry, fear comes, and it's in cookout, I will put my trust. In this, I will put my trust. In all these other things. Because we go for the thing that's going to meet immediate rather than the Lord. We got to go to God first. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. We see it in Romans. If you remember Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And when we think about this, these contexts, I think we have to be cautious and mindful. It's not taking these to say nothing hard is ever going to come. But it's realizing if God's who he is, which he is, he's going to give me the strength to endure no matter what it may be. No matter what the hardship is, no matter what man would say, why are you not panicking right now? In God, I've put my trust. What can flesh do to me? We're talking about the Lord God Almighty here. So in this, we see an action. It's a choice. There is a decision to move from fear to faith. Because when we trust in God, it's then that reverent awe that we all need a healthy fear of God that drives us to obey. And obedience needs deeper communion with him. And when we're trusting in him, guess what? Those doubts mean we're not listening to those doubts. At this point, David's saying, I'm not going to go to that thing. Well, is God really going to help you right now? No, he doesn't humor that. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Saints, pray verses 3 and 4 for yourselves when those moments come. We've got to be better about taking scripture and putting it into prayer. We know the Holy Spirit gives us words when we don't know what to pray at times, but sometimes I think we forget the power of bringing scripture into our prayer time. Pray those two verses when that hardship comes. Then he lays out to the Lord the reality of what's going on and the people who are coming after him. All days they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. In 2025, I was going to say 2024, but it's 2025. In 2025, verse 5-7 isn't found because it's actually a post on social media, an event. Because we rather take these things to everybody else but God. David didn't pick up his phone and get on Instagram or TikTok or whatever the new hip things are to complain about the people. But he needed to get it out. And we need to get it out. But you know who we get it out to? God. Go to God. Go to God. And he lays it all out. They're lying. They twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. He's pointing their heart, their mind. It's evil, God. They gather together, which points to the unity of those doing evil. And we know that takes place. Because in him taking it to the Lord, it's a reminder to us. And then there's also reminders of those who are against the Lord. They're going to gather together and have force in that. They hide. I'm going to tell you something. Believers, you should have nothing to do with things in secrecy. They hide. If we're hiding, we ain't about Jesus. Period. Ain't no hiding for the child of God. We are a light to shine forth for the King. But the wicked ones, they hide. They mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, they want to take your plans away. And then he asks, are they going to escape iniquity? Lord, be the righteous judge. In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. David calls for God's justice. The next psalm that we're going to look at, it's either written when he's in the cave at Adullam or the cave, I can't remember the second cave that he was at right now. My mind just went, but say that again. Yes, and Getty, thank you. It pays to have another pastor. But when we look, it's one of those two caves where he is, and most point to, and I believe when you look at the context of 57, it's Adullam. But when we see those moments, as we're going to see when he's there, he leaves the judgment to God. Because at En Gedi, guess what? He could have done. He could have killed Saul. But he didn't. He didn't. So brothers and sisters, when we're having those moments, when we're going through those hardships, do yourself a favor. Put the technology away and go to God and leave it in the hands of the Lord God Almighty. Because if you notice, what did he say before that? I'm trusting you, Lord. So you got to leave it in his hands. Then verse 8, you number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? He knows he is in control. You see the highs and lows in your sovereignty. You permit different things. All the days are there. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. Verse 9 for us reminds us of something we can't forget. Spiritual warfare is real. There's a spiritual battle going on. Ephesians 6 lays it out pretty clear. And when we remind ourselves of that, when we look at that, and then when we look at this verse, we see we got to cry out to God. We got to cry out. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. I cry to you, Lord. My enemies turn back. Why? Because God is for me. Now, it doesn't say my enemies turn back and everything's picture perfect. Notice that too. They turn back. There's those moments of relief. There's those moments of respite. And then there's also the empowering and the filling afresh of the Holy Spirit where you're in that battle still. But because your eyes are so fixed on the Lord God Almighty, boy, is it a different perspective. That's why our discipline has to be go to God. That's why our default has to be prayer. That's why I encourage us as we start a new year, lean into the Lord. Lean into the Lord. Make Jesus your number one go-to. The number one go-to. Then he goes on in verse 10. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So we see again now him emphasizing this in God, in the Lord, in God. Repetition in prayer ain't a bad thing. Repetition isn't a bad thing. Sometimes we need to keep saying the same thing to the Lord and reminding ourselves of that and reminding ourselves of that. In God, I will praise his word. And notice the relationship here of praise and trust in God tied to his word. There is a relationship, there is a marriage there that we can't forget, that we can't leave to the wayside. That's why the word of God matters. That's why we say at Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, his word, his spirit, his way, his word. Lean into his word. I will praise his word. I will praise his word. Because when you give praise for the word of God, you realize how good God you are that you give that. For us, modern day, with the full counsel of the word of God, that's why I love 1 Thessalonians 4 when it talks of the rapture. Comfort each other with these words. That's something to praise his word about. Do you give praise for his word? Do you praise his word? Lord, how perfect your word is. As you see, as you're going and as you're reading and you see the way it all ties together, all of the prophecies fulfilled, all yet to come to be fulfilled, and living in a time when it's all happening and going, it should make us say, in God, I'm going to praise his word. In the Lord, I'm going to praise his word. That's where my trust is. That's where my anchor is. In God, I've put my trust. I will not be afraid. As he's meditated on this, there's a little bit of a flip that happens, because if you notice, when it's verse 3, he starts with this idea, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in you. Because there's that little bit, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in you. But now that he's meditated on that, I've put my trust in God. I will not be afraid. That's where our strength comes from. You want to be stronger? Yes, go lift some weights, pick things up and put them down. Yeah, do that. But you really want to be strong, build your trust in the Lord God Almighty. And that's a prayer to pray, because then he may give circumstances that you have to learn to trust. I want to trust you more, Lord. That's where you make some decisions that to the world, what are you doing? I trust the Lord. I've put my trust in God. I will not fear. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And that's something we have to realize again in our culture. I think it's interesting when you think of some of the Psalms of David, because this is a lament psalm when we think of the categories of psalms. Our culture laments often. We've got a very lamenting culture where we've got victimhood all over the place. But our lamenting is so public because we lament for likes and retweets and refollows, and it's all about, look at me, look at me, look at me. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Then verse 12, vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you. Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you. Vows are serious. It's like when a couple's getting married, there's time taken to think about the vows you're going to make. The Lord has some promises he has made, and then we give an allegiance to him. And then notice what he says he's going to do. He's going to render praises to you. Those praises could point to the fact he's far away right now from the altar where the sacrifices would be given, which was a form of praise. And then we've seen in other psalms, he makes clear, I'm going to sing before all the congregation. There's that public praise. How is it for you when you think about in trialing circumstances or regular circumstances, how's your rendering? How's your rendering praise to the Lord God Almighty? And we've got the directions from Paul on how we do it. If you remember Romans chapter 12, after we get the gift of Romans 11, where we realize that we're grafted in and what a gift that is, when you realize that, then we see that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because of the beautiful thing, because of the promises that are going to come to Israel, because of how the Lord is working salvation to the Jew first, then the Gentile, by the mercies of God, because it's only his mercy that could do it, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And some say your reasonable worship. That's how we render praises today. We are that living sacrifice. And in being that living sacrifice, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Jesus makes it clear in John 17, we saw it, they are not of this world. Brothers and sisters, stop trying to fit in. We're pretty cool on our own here, so we got a cool corner. We're the coolest, okay? Stop trying to fit in with the world. Stop trying to fit in with the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And there's only one thing that transforms our mind. The Word. And that's why there's that marriage of I will in God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. There's that marriage. And then you have to render, as he says, praises to you. You want to praise? That's worship. Obedience is worship. Obedience, that's worship. What's the worship song that you're composing to the Lord? Day to day. Moment by moment. Do you render praise to Jesus through your life? Do you render praise? Are you able to say, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you and mean it? Are you able to say, in God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? There's some things that we can build as a gift I think we forget when we have the Word of God, because we get the whole counsel of the Word of God, and we get this whole story with Psalms. It's really beautiful how you get to see what's going on with David. Then you get to see his prayer and praise life in different pressing circumstances. So when you see that, then build your intimacy with the Lord God Almighty. Because we all know we're going to have pressing circumstances, but build your discipline that you too know my default. Lord, be merciful. Lord, I need you. And then verse 13, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? There's a big deliverance of our souls through Jesus Christ. When we read verse 13, there's a big deliverance we can't forget. But there's an immediate application for him. As we know, after this, he feigns madness. He's delivered. And then he can walk before God in the light of the living. Continuing onward, a man after God's own heart. Now we know from his whole story, is he perfect? No. But there's a consistency that may we all have going to God. In the trial, in the good, in the repentance. May we not need Nathan the prophet to come. May we just repent when the conviction comes. And brothers and sisters, may we walk in the light. And there's again a depth for us, because we know the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, the light of the world, takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God. When we realize we know the King of Kings and we know how it's going to end, boy, should it be easier to say, I trust in God. I'm not going to choose fear. What can man do to me? And then that's when we seek then that deeper communion with the Holy Spirit so that we live boldly for Jesus. Because you can look and realize, okay, so much is going on that points to it's getting closer. I remember I got saved in 2006, and there's some things that when we at the college and career group were going through the book of Revelation, there were things we jokingly said, okay, well, that's what's going to have to happen for those things to happen. Those things are happening. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, whoa, it's getting real. So if it's getting real, and we remember the mercy and grace he has on the cross, lean in more. Lean in more. So that it's not when that trial comes, what do I do now? No, be merciful, oh God. And you take it all to God. Don't take it to your best friend, Susie. Don't take it to social media. Don't take it to all the places the world says. Take it to God. And cry out to the Lord God Almighty. Tarry with him in prayer. And in light of the fact that we know the light of the world, walk in the light. Walk in the light. And look to him, the only deliverer, and be able to say, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Make that an anthem for this year. Charge, prayerfully ponder where your gaze lies. Prayerfully ponder where your gaze lies. And where it's off, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Because we see in this, we didn't read the beginning of 1 Samuel 21, but we've read it before when he's at Nob. He wasn't fixing his eyes on God. He was looking at the circumstance. I got to figure something out. I'm going to lie. I got to get this done. I got to control it. Fix your eyes on Jesus. The old hymn I love. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's fix our eyes on him. Amen. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of your word always, Lord. And Father, thank you that in the midst of trying circumstances, we have an example from David here of going to you, Lord. Father, help us to build that discipline. For Lord, we all have the numbers we know to speed dial when trouble, when fear, when worry comes in. But Lord, help us to turn to you first. And Lord, when we turn to you, help us to do as David did, to stay before you and to lay it all before our King. The good, the bad, our feelings, wanting your justice, wanting your vindication. And Lord, that from your throne room we would realize we need not be afraid. And Lord, what a gift you give us who know through Hebrews we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weakness, Lord. And you give us access boldly to come to you. Grace and mercy. Father God, help us to stand on that. Help us to stand on Christ alone. And Lord, no matter what may come, help us to be a people who say, I will not be afraid. I've put my trust in God. And when we want to think of all the things and influences and other people, that Lord, we'd fix our eyes on you and remember, what can man do to me? And then Lord, as we move forward, that we would render you praise, Jesus. And that praise, Lord God, be our lives surrendered as a living sacrifice and pleasing aroma unto our King. That it all, Lord, be for your glory and your namesake alone. That you increase and get the glory and we decrease. Thank you, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen.
Have a wonderful evening.